Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Yud Zayin. We are holding on daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis at the very bottom of the page. We're at the two dots, Sanhedrin Gedola Haisa. So the Gemara is going to discuss the basis and psukim for each of the two shitos in the Mishnah about how many members of the Sanhedrin Gedola there are, whether there are 70 or 71. And then the Gemara is going to discuss details about Eldad Umeidad, what they were being misnave about, three different shitos about what they were being misnave about, two different opinions as to why they were left out or what it means that they were left out, what it means that they were outside. So the Gemara is going to discuss other details about them as well, what Yoshua's Eitzah to do with them was, and why Moshe Rabbeinu reacted in the way that he did. Toward the bottom of the page, the Gemara is going to discuss two different ways that you could still have a two-person majority in a Sanhedrin, even though l'chora you can't, because if there are 23 Dayanim, it's either 13 to 10 or it's going to be 12 to 11. It's not going to be a two-person majority. Then the Gemara is going to discuss qualifications for a Sanhedrin, what qualifications a person has to have to serve on a Sanhedrin. And included on that might be knowing how to be mitaher asheretz, knowing all 70 languages. So these are going to be, or at least some of them, knowing all 70 languages. Amud Beis is a famous list. The Sanhedrin Yudzayin Amud Beis is a list of titles that we find throughout Shas and which specific people those titles refer to. And then at the end of Amud Beis, which is going to be the end of the parak, really, we're probably not going to finish it today, but at the end of the parak, we're going to discuss what the basis of different shitos for minimum number of people in a city in order for that city to warrant a Sanhedrin, what the basis is for each of those shitos. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avishai and Elisha Newman, L'zechus Rufur Shlema for Chaim Naftali Ben Frimit Freda, Shnev Rufur Shlema B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. So let's begin, two lines on the bottom of the page, on Tezayinam Beis. Sanhedrin Gedola Haisa, my time at the Rabbanan. So what is the reason that the Rabbanan would say that a Sanhedrin Gedola has 71 judges? So it says, Mar, Da'amri Yu Moshe Al Gaben, because Moshe is Al Gaben. There are 70 people that Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to gather, and then Moshe is in charge of all of them. So Moshe plus the 70 is 71. Amar Kravis, Yatsvu Sham Imach. I mean, what's the reason Rabbanan, Da'amri Moshe Al Gaben? Why is it that the Rabbanan say that Moshe Al Gaben and it's 71? Amar Kravis, Yatsvu Sham Imcha Va'at Ba'dayu, that the 70 should be with you, and you are amongst them. Rabbi Yehuda says that there are only 70, would respond, no, that it's not imcha ve'at ba'adayu, but rather imcha mishum shechina. And imcha means mishum shechina, because of the shechina. What does that mean exactly? So Rashi in his first pshat explains that it means that Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe that he should stay with the 70 dayanim outside of the Ol Moed and not enter the Ol Moed because the shechina was in the Ol Moed. Another possibility says that Moshe had to stay with them because in order for the Hashras HaShechina to go on them, in order for Shetishra Aleim Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take from the Ruach HaKodesh that was going to Moshe and sort of channel it to them. So he wanted Moshe Rabbeinu in proximity to them. The Adrama suggests that Moshe had to be with them outside of the Oel in order that his Zuchus should protect them so that the Shechina shouldn't leave them. So it was the Zuchus of Moshe that was going to protect them. But that's what it means, Mishum Shechina, but not that he was one of the members of the Sanhedrin. Good, so how the Rabbanan going to respond to that? Rabbanan, Amar Kra, V'nosu Yitcha B'masa Ha'am, Yitcha V'at Ba'dayu. There's another pasuk of Yitcha, so forget about Imcha, you have Yitcha. Rabbi Yehuda, Yitcha B'domenach. Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, Yitcha teaches us a different din, that they have to be Domenach. Rashi says that means they have to be Miuchasim, and Menukim Mum, they have to be people of Yichus and clear of any Mum, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what we learn from Itcha, which is interesting that Rashi says we learn both of those things from Itcha, because there is going to be a sugya that we're going to have in a couple of weeks from now, a Mishnah Daf Lamed Beis, and the Gemara is going to appear in Daf Lamed Vav, where we discuss how we know this din, that a Sanhedrin Gedola has to be Miuchasim. So originally the Gemara says that Rav Yosef says that a Beis has to be Menukim Mikol Mum, and a Meimar darshans it from the fact that the pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Kulcha Yafa Rayasi Umum Ein Bach. And Rashi says, Mum means a Pagam Mishpacha. That's how we know they have to be Miuchas. But the Gemara asks on that maybe it means Mum Mamish, that they shouldn't have any Mum. How do you know that they have to be Miuchasim? So Rav Nachum Yitzchak says, no, we learn that from the word Itcha. Says, Machlokas Rishonim, how to learn that Gemara. Tosos of there learns that B'maskana, the Maskana of the Gemara is that when we say Mum Ein Bach, that's talking about an actual actual mum. That's talking about, not about yichus. And the din that they have to be miyuchasim, we learn from itcha. Others say, the other Rishonim understand, the Aruch Liner quotes the others that suggest that no, a Meimar's sheet is not rejected. Even the Maskana we learn that Miyuchasim is from Mum Ein Bach. When the Gemara says Mum Ein Bach, it can't be talking about Mum Mamish, it means we learn from Idcha that it should be Doma to Moshe Rabbeinu, that you shouldn't have a Bal Mum. So it's strange that Rashi over here says that we learn both of these dinim from Idcha, because L'chara and no one says we learn both of these dinim from Idcha, but Rashi at least is giving us both of these possibilities. V'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan would respond, how do I know that they have to be B'dom Lachmi V'Hakel Me'alecha V'Nasu Idcha Nafka V'Yalfi Sanhedrin Gedol and Misanhedrin Ketana, that it says by Sanhedrin Ketana V'Hakel Me'alecha V'Nasu Idcha. So we, if the Sanhedrin Ketana has to be B'dom Lach, has to be similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, Sanhedrin Gedol has to be as well, and therefore we have an extra Idcha to teach us that Moshe Rabbeinu is counted among the number of the Sanhedrin Gedolah, and therefore there are 71. It's 70, and Moshe Rabbeinu is also added to that number, so it's a total of 71. The Tos Yantif raises an interesting question. The Gemara had already said that Moshe Rabbeinu is keneged shivim ve'echad, that Moshe Rabbeinu alone is keneged shivim ve'echad, that he counts as 71 dayanim. We had said that in just the previous daf in Tazayinam and Beis. So if that's the case, asks the Tos Yantiv, shouldn't the Gemara say that you need 71 plus 70? Meaning Lidoros, how many dayanim should we need? 141. Because if you're really going to learn that it's Moshe as one of the members of the Sanhedrin plus the 70 people that he gathered, it should be 70 plus whatever Moshe Rabbeinu corresponds to. So that's the kasha of the Tos Yantiv. So Tos Yantiv suggests that we only say Moshe Rabbeinu shakel k'shivim ve'echad when he was alone. But once he's together with another shivim zakenim, then he's no longer shakel k'shivim ve'echad. He's no longer considered to be the equivalent of 71. Other acharim say that Moshe shakel k'neged shivim ve'echad is only before he appoints a Sanhedrin, because we always need shivim ve'echad. So before there's a Sanhedrin appointed, Moshe is shakel k'shivim ve'echad. Once he appoints the Sanhedrin, you don't have to say Moshe is shakel k'shivim ve'echad anymore. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, ve'yisharu shnei anashim b'machne, that there were two anashim left in the machne. Yesh omrim bekalpi nishtairu. Some say it means that they were left in the box where they were draw gorolos from, that they would draw a gorol, there was some sort of gorol which we're about to explain what it was, and these two people's gorol were still in the box. Because at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu he's supposed to get 70 people together to appoint Sanhedrin, Amar Moshe Ketzad Ha'esa, he said, how am I going to evenly and equitably, fairly divide this among the 12 Shvatim? Ever Shisha Mikol Shevet V'Shevet? What, should I take 6 from each Shevet? Nimtzu Shnayim Eserim. Then I'm going to be left with 2 extras, because the 6 times 12 is 72, and I'm only allowed to pick 70 Dayanim. Ever Chamish Chamisha Mikol Shevet V'Shevet? Should I take 5 from each Shevet? Nimtzu Asara Chaserim. Then I'm going to have 5 times 12 is only 60. I'm going to be missing 10. So ever Shisha Mishevet Zeh V'Chamisha Mishevet Zeh? What if I pick 6 from one Shevet, 5 from another Shevet? Hareini Matil Well, then we matam kina amongst the shvatim. It's going to cause jealousy amongst the shvatim. Why did that shevet get more than we got? I don't know why he didn't just have a system of depending on how many people were in the shevet system like that. Because I guess because that could change over time, that the numbers could change. That's all, not always going to be fair. So ma'asa bira shisha shisha ve'evi shivim u'shnayim pitkin. He picked 6 from each shevet, meaning there are 72 qualified candidates that potentially could be chosen, and he brought 72 little blocks or pieces of paper. Al shivim kasav zakein, on 70 of them he wrote the word zakein, u'shnayim minya chalak, and 2 of them he left blank. So bilan v'nasim bekalpi, he mixed them all up and he put them in a box, and amar lehem bo'u t'lupitkechem, and he told each of these 72 people, 72 qualified candidates, everyone pick out your raffle, pick out your ticket. Kol mi sha'ala biyado zakein, amar kvar kitshcha shemayim. Anyone who zakein came out on his ticket, so you would say kvar kitshcha shemayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already chosen you as one of the members of the Sanhedrin. And it's not me, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi sha'ala biyado chalak, amar makam lo chafetz bach. And if he got a blank, so then Moshe Rabbeinu would say, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in you serving on the Sanhedrin. So ani ma'esel Malach. What do you want me to do for you? I can't help if a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want. So the two two that were left in the box were the ones that belonged to Eldad Umeidad. Rashi says that the ones that were left in the box, Eldad and Umeidad, were afraid to take it out because they were afraid Shema Yala Biyadam Chalak, that they might get the one that's Chalak, that's blank. But in reality, their petak actually said Zakein, that two others already took the ones that were Chalak. So Rashi says, really, they should have been chosen. They were just too afraid that they would get the wrong ones. The Re'eim says that, no, according to the Tanakhama, they were not chosen to be amongst the Zakenim because the ones that were left were the Chalak. They were the, that when it says Vehema B'Ksuvim, it means that they were amongst the 72 that were chosen to be potential candidates, but not that they were actually Hema B'Ksuvim in a literal sense, that there was anything actually written on their petek. So this is how Moshe Rabbeinu chose. Now we had said that he couldn't choose six from each shevet initially because then it would be 72 dayanim. So and he couldn't pick six from one and five from another because then it would be matil kina. So the Mefarshim asked, well, wait a second. The assumption of here is that there are 12 shvatim, but that's not really true because Ephraim and Menashe count as separate shvatim. So why are we doing all this math assuming 12 shvatim? We should do the math assuming 13 shvatim. Still the same problem, the 13 is not divisible by 70 either, but still we should do the math assuming 13 shvatim and not 12 shvatim. So in the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, they suggest that he didn't pick from Shevet Levi, because Shevet Levi already had enough. They had the Avoda, they had the Shir, and therefore he didn't pick from Shevet Levi, which makes sense to the extent that if you assume like the Rabbanan that Moshe al-Gabeim, that Moshe was ready, shouldn't he have counted as one of the representatives of Shevet Levi? So why would it be that Levi gets an additional six aside from Moshe Rabbeinu? Why would that be fair? They would still get unfair representation. If you say like Rabbi Yehuda Mela, fine, there are only 70 Dayanim, Moshe is not one of them, so then it makes sense. But if you say like the Rabbanan, Shevet Levi is unfairly represented. So unless you say like the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, that Shevet Levi doesn't get representation. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only representation of Shevet Levi. However, in the Iyun Yaakov, he says that it doesn't count from Ephraim and Menashe separately, and Shevet Levi does count. It's Ephraim and Menashe that are really one, because the Gemara in Horio says that Ephraim and Menashe are considered like Shnei Shvatim as far as Nachla is concerned, but not as far as anything else is concerned. And this is in the anything else category. This is not Nachla, and Mela, Ephraim and Menashe can count as a single Shevet. There was a similar kind of solution, a similar kind of suggestion in a different context. The similar suggestion, meaning there was a similar type of goral when it came to exchanging the Bechorim for the Levim. The Lakachta, the Kedushas Bechor that went over to the Levim. The Lakachta, Chameshas, Chameshas, Shkolim, Lagulgolas. Amr Moshe, Ketzad, Asal, and the Yisrael. He said, what am I going to do for the Bechor Yisrael? Imamr lo tainli pidyon chavitsei, yomli kvar pada'ani ben Levi. I mean, the problem was that the numbers were off. There were 22,000 B'nai Levi, and there were 22,273 Bechorim. So the 22,000 klapi, the 22,000, fine, that's going to work. What about the extras? So the extras had to pay Chamesh Slayim to be poda themselves. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to send them a bill. You know what they're going to tell me? They're going to tell me, we're among the 22,000. We're not among the extras, so you can't send me a bill. So Ma'asa, how did he identify which ones would have to pay the five shkalim, the Chamesh shkalim? So Ma'asa, hevi esrim u'shnayim alafim pitkin, v'kasav alayin ben Levi. He brought 22,000 pieces of little blocks, and he wrote Ben Levi on all 22,000. And he must have had help sitting there writing Ben Levi on all 22,000. That's quite tedious. And on the 273, he wrote Chamisha Shkalim. Bilan v'nasim b'kalpi, he mixed them all up and he put them in the box. Amalan tlu pitkechem, and he had all 22,273 b'charim pick out their petek. Mishal abiyado ben Levi, amalok Shafar Pedacha ben Levi. Whoever got ben Levi, he was able to tell, okay, you've already been Niftei Salidea ben Levi. Mishal biyadach Chamisha Shkalim, Amar lo tein piyadach Vitzei. And if someone got Chamisha Shkalim, he would say, okay, now you have to pay. You have to pay the Chamisha Shkalim, and then you can go out. Good. So all of that, the thing about ben Levi was just a side point based on the idea that Eldar Meidan, when we say that they were Nisharu b'machne, that they were Nisharim, it means that they were Nisharim in the box, that they remained in the box. But that was all one sheet. And now the Gemara is going to move on to another sheet of what it means that they were left over. Not that they were left over in the box. Before we get to that, the Mefarshim raised the question, why did Moshe Rabbeinu do the Goral in this way of 12, why didn't he just make 12 Ptakim and have 10 of them say Shisha and 2 of them say Chamisha? I mean, that was his real problem, was how to have an equitable distribution amongst the Shvatim. So make 12 Ptakim. You don't have to make 72. It will be easier. And have some of them, and each Shevet will pick out one or the other. So Chidush Aran suggests that it would have caused Machlokas amongst the Shvatim. If the Shvatim would have to choose, it would cause Machlokas. With individuals, it was less likely to cause Machlokas. The Meiri suggests that a Shevet that only got 5, he says it would have caused a subsequent fight choosing those 5 and then choosing those 6. So this way Moshe Rabbeinu was able to choose who the 72 most qualified candidates were, and it saves any subsequent fight that could have happened. The Marsha also raised a different question. Why is it when it came to the Bechoros, when it came to the who's going to be Niftei Salideh Ben Levi, so in the extra 273 he wrote anything? Why did he have to write anything? He should have just, on the extra 273, he should have left a blank, just like he did by choosing the Dayanim, that the guys who aren't chosen have a blank petek. So the people who are not Niftes by Ben Levi, they would have a blank petek. So the Achronim suggest different answers to that question. They suggest that maybe if he would have left a blank, the people would have said, I don't have to pay anything, meaning I understand I'm not covered by Ben Levi, so the rest of them should have to all chip in to pay for my pidyon, or something of that nature, something that he wouldn't have to pay personally. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted it clear in the petek itself that no, this is a bill. You can consider this to be your bill, that you're going to have to pay for this. Good. Rabbi Shimon Omer in the 5th wide line of the Gemara, Anyud Zayinim Aleph, Rabbi Shimon Omer, b'machne nishtayru. That, what does it mean that Eldad and Medad remained? It means they remained in the machne. B'shar Shem L'Kodesh Baruch L'Moshe, Asfali Shiv Mish, Amr Eldad and Medad, Einan Ru'uyin La'osa Gedula. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told to gather 70 people, and Eldad and Medad were invited, they said, we're not really Rotway to serve on the Sanhedrin, and therefore they stayed behind. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Holu Miat Tematzmechem, Hareini Mosav Gedula Al Gedulaschem. Since you minimize yourselves, you have such anivus that you say that you're not qualified, even though Moshe Rabbeinu has invited you, I'm going to add Gedula Al Gedulaschem. Anyone who's Barech Min HaKavod, Kavod chases him. Uma Gedula Hosef Lehem, what Gedula was added to them, what stature did they get? Shenavim Kulam Nisnavu Pasku. All other Nevi'im are misnave and then they stop. Vehem nisnavu v'lo pasku. They were misnave and they didn't stop. Uma nevuah nisnavu. What was their nevuah? So 3 possibilities. Amru Moshe Meis Yeshua Machnas Yisrael La'aretz. One is that they said that Moshe would die and Yeshua would lead the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. Abchadon Amru Mishum Rav Lazar Al Iske Slav He Misnavim Alei Slav. That they were misnave, that the Slav would appear so that the Jewish people would have meat. Rav Nachman Amar Al Iske Gogumagog Hoi Misnavim. They were misnave about the ultimate war of Gog u'Magog. Shenemar, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, as the pasuk says in Yecheskel about Gog u'Magog, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, Ha'atahu Asher Dibarti B'yom Kamonim B'yad Avadai Nevi'e Yisrael Hanivam B'yom Hanibim B'yom Mahem Shnayim Lahaviyoscha Aleihem. So Al Tikri Shanim El Shnayim. It says Shanim in the pasuk. Al Tikri Shanim El Shnayim. Don't read it as Shanim, but Shnayim. That there are 2 people that are misnabe about Gog u'Magog. Vezu in Shnayim Nevi'im Shnasnabu Perak Echad. Where do we ever find that there are 2 people that are misnabe at the same time, that their nevuah is in total concert with each other? Nevuah Ach achas, that it's a single nevuah v'perek echad. So Avi Omer Eldad Umeidad, that can only be Eldad Umeidad. So you see that Eldad Umeidad were misnave about the ultimate war of Gog u'Magog. Amar Mar, kol Neviim klum nesnavu pasuk v'im nesnavu lo pasuk. So let's go back to this price and analyze. We said that all the Neviim are misnave and then it stops, as opposed to Eldad Umeidad, they're misnave and it doesn't stop. Minolan de pasuk. Where do we get that by every other navi that the nevuah stops? Either midchseve nesnavu v'loyos, the pasuk says that that Hashem comes and he talks to the Shivamish and v'isnavu v'loyosafu about the Shivamish, the nevuah that the Shivamish got. So elameata, meaning so that's what separated Eldad Umeidad from the other 70. The other 70 were v'loyosafu, and v'loyosafu means that it didn't add, that it didn't continue, that it stopped. Elameata kol gadol v'loyosaf. So wait, is that what it means when it says Kol Gadol V'lo Yosaf by Har Sinai? Does that mean that it didn't continue? That it stopped? Ella, no, Delo Pasaku. V'lo Yosaf means that it didn't stop, that it continued. The opposite. So Elahach Ksiv Eisnabu, Hasam Ksiv Misnavim. Now, you know how we know that Eldad Umeidad continued to be Misnave while the others did not? Because by the others it says Vayisnavu, past tense. By Eldad Umeidad it says present tense, that misnab'im. So that's what adayin misnab'im v'holchim, that they're still being misnab'im v'holich. So says Gemara, okay, but we had three possibilities about what they were being misnabe. So bishlam man yomer Moshe meis, haynu d'chsev adoni Moshe kla'im. If they were being misnabe, the Moshe would die. So I understand why Yeshua got all upset. And he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you should wipe these people out. But if you say that their nevuah was about either the Slav or about Gog u'Magog, so why would they need to be wiped out? Why would Yeshua get so upset and tell Moshe Rabbeinu to get rid of them? Says Mar Delav Orachara Davle Katalman Amora Alacha Lifnei Rabo, because it's not right for other people, for Talmidim, to be misnavi in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNeviim, was the Avkol HaNeviim, and they shouldn't be misnavi. It's like being Mora Alacha Lifnei Rabo. So Bishlam Man Yamar Nechtarti, if you say like these other two shitos, Gog u'Magog and the Slav, Haynu D'chsiv Mi'itain, that's how I understand why Moshe Rabbeinu says, ah, halavai that we should have more Neviim. You know, don't get so upset. He tells Yeshua, it's not a big deal. We should have more Neviim saying such things. El Madi Amar Moshe Meis, Menachav Nichalei. What about, according, if they said Moshe Meis, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was okay with that? The one thing Moshe Rabbeinu was not okay with in his entire life was the fact that he was not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu was okay with that. So Lo Simua Kamei. He didn't even allow Yeshua to finish his sentence. Yeshua was saying, oh no, there are two people that are being misnave, you should wipe them out. And Yeshua was about to tell him what they were being misnave about. But right away Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, let everyone be misnave. Mike, what does he mean that we should wipe him out? What was Yeshua suggesting? Was he suggesting an assassination? What exactly was he suggesting? So close. Get them involved in Tzarchi Tzibur. Put them on the board. And you know that should finish them off. And we'll take care of them. They'll be gone on their own. So we don't even have to do anything. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu do our dirty work after we give them the Tzarchi Tzibur. Marsha points out that L'chora, when it says they were both misnavi nevuah achas, and there were three shitos, they were both misnavi the same thing, three different shitos about what they're being misnavi. But he quotes that the Tos Yishanim says that no, Eldad was menave about Misas Moshe, Meidad about the Slav, and both of them together on the Melchemes Gog u'Magog, because the pasuk by Gog u'Magog is the only one that said that it's two people being misnavi ka'achas. So that's how some of the Rishonim understand that it's Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that they're all correct. All three of these are part of it. Where do we see a remez that they were misnavi that Moshe died? So the Balaturim on the pasuk says a remez from the fact that it says misnavim meis neviam. Meis Navim can be broken up into two words, that Meis Navim, that their Navi is going to die, that the ultimate Navi is going to die. It's also interesting, if they're misnavi about Gog u'Magog, that's the only thing that's nogea l'doros, right? About the Slav, about Moshe Rabbeinu dying, that's only nogea for that generation. That might answer a kasha. The Maseches Megillah, we learn that there are 48 Nevi'im that were omed l'Yisrael. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? There were keflaim ki yotzei Mitzrayim. There were twice the amount of Nevi'im as there were yotzei Mitzrayim. How do you say there were only 48 Nevi'im? No, there were 48 Nevi'im whose nevuah was hutzruch l'doros and was therefore written down because it was a nevuah shavua shehutzru chaladoros and was not only for that generation. And Rashi over there says, I can think of 46. And he lists 46 Nevi'im whose Nevi'us were Hutzal Chaladoros. And he says, the last two, Lo Yadati Mihem. He says, I don't know who the last two Nevi'im are. But if you say that Eldad made the Ramasnavi about Gog and Magog, that's a Nevi'us Hutzal Chaladoros. They didn't make Rashi's list. So that might be the last two. That's what that's what in the Ramami Panu writes. That might be the last two. That might solve this problem of who the 48 Nevi'im were, because Eldad made that might be the last two on the list. Paras Yosef also has an interesting ha'ara on this Gemara over here. The Gemara says Yeshua gets all upset that they're being misnave, and it's like being mora halacha bifnei rabo. So asks the Paras Yosef, and what did Yeshua say? Yeshua came to Moshe and said, Moshe, you have to claim, you have to wipe them out. That's actually being mora halacha bifnei rabo. Them being misnave is like being mora halacha bifnei rabo. Yeshua was actually being mora halacha bifnei rabo. So he says you have to say that he's assuming like the shita that Moshe Mason Yeshua would be machnis, and that Yeshua thought it was not because it's for the sake of the covet of the Rebbe that would not be a violation of being mora halacha. Of being mora halacha bifnei rabo. There's another interesting point about this last thing about that bimataleim tzarchi tzibur vein kolamei aleihem. So Tosfos over here writes perish nevuasam kala dein shechina shor mitoch atzvos al mitoch simcha. That it doesn't mean that they're going to be wiped out, that they're going to die from tzarchi tzibur. No, it means that they're no longer going to be able to be neviim, because it's very distressing and upsetting work when you're osik b'tzarchi tzibur. More than one person who's osik b'tzarchi tzibur over the years has told me that he wishes he hadn't done it, because he used to love the Jewish people, and after being osik b'tzarchi tzibur, he's seen things that make people so much less lovable. So it's very distressing, it's very sad to be osik b'tzarchi tzibur, and when a person is sad, he's not able to become a navi when a person is sad, because the hashras hashchina only comes mitoch simcha. That itself, that line of Tosfos, seems to be subject to two deos in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch paskes, the Aruchayim Sim Tzadi Gimel, that lo yamor adam l'spalel el mitoch simcha, that a person should be in a proper state of mind when he davens. Kigon divrei tanchumin shel Torah, he learns Torah, the nice things about Torah, not the dvarim haroim, I guess, but divrei tanchumin shel Torah, I guess that's our daf yomi kuntzah, as we talk about nechama today. Divrei tanchumin shel Torah, and then the Shulchan Aruch says, someone who's orchei osik b'tzorchei Tzibur is ka'osek b'Torah as far as being omid l'spalel, because shagam zu simcha hilo, being osek b'tzorchei tzibur is also a simcha. And then he says yesh mefarshim that's only as far as you don't have to stop to what you're doing in order to daven. What do we mean that osek b'tzorchei tzibur is like Torah? Not that you're allowed to daven right after you osek b'tzorchei tzibur. The opposite, that just like when you're learning Torah, you don't have to stop your learning in order to daven. You don't have to stop your osek b'tzorchei tzibur in order to daven. So the Yerushalmi is the basis of both of the shitos. Yerushalmi in the fifth paragraph of Brachos is the source for the idea that osik b'tzorchei tzibur is ka'osik b'torah. It parallels one being osik b'torah. The two deus in Shulchan Aruch are machlokas. How to understand that Yerushalmi? But l'chora, the Acharonim point out that our Tosfos assumes like the second day in Tosfos, not like the second day in Shulchan Aruch, not like the first day in Shulchan Aruch. Second day in Shulchan Aruch assumes that osik b'tzorchei tzibur doesn't bring a person simcha at all. It's just that it's such important work that you don't have to stop it in order to go daven. Whereas the first day in Shulchan Aruch assumes that osik b'tzorchei tzibur does bring a person simcha. In Shuvah Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner in Chelek Aleph Siman Mem suggests that our sugya was talking about Yoshua, who is manig and was osik b'tzorchei tzibur constantly. Such an osik b'tzorchei tzibur brings about atzvos, it brings a sadness. But you appoint a person to a committee or something to be osik in an element of tzarchei tzibur, but not constantly dealing with tzarchei tzibur. So that could be very fulfilling work. A person could find great gratification in that work. That could bring a person simcha. It's when you have to deal with everything that it ruins a person's simcha, that it breaks a person's spirit. That's that's how Rav Vosner suggests. Others, the Kleisenberger has other suggestions. Maybe there's a difference between osik b'tzorchei tzibur and dvarim gashmiim versus osik b'tzorchei tzibur and dvarim ruchniim. Okay, there are other suggestions. Let's see. Vayitim minayin lavi od shlosha. So you said in the Mishnah that you have 20 dayanim we know from Eda Shofetas and Eda Matzelas, that you need an Eda, at least 10 people that are going to vote l'chova and 10 people to vote l'zchus. How do I know that there's got to be 23 dayanim though? That's only 20. So we said because you have to be able to have a majority vote of two. That a two-person majority, even with 10 people voting lizchus, you have to be able to have a two-person majority lechova. Sof l'ral pishnayim l'mashkachsa. But now that we have 23 dayanim, you still don't have a two-person majority in a vote, because iachad asam mezakim l'shnayim asam mechayvin akati chadu. If it's 12-11 vote lechova, it's only a one-person majority. And iasarim mezakim shloshas mechayvin tlasavu. And if it's a 13-10 vote, it's a three-person majority. So you never have a two-person majority. Says Gemara, there are two ways it could happen. Amar Rav Avohu yatamotzel mosifin v'divrei akol. Two possibilities are either when you're Mosif Shnei Dayanim, because one person abstains, you had 23 Dayanim, but one of them said Eini Yodea, so now you only have 22, you have to add two more, so with that vote you could have a two-person majority. Or we're talking about Sanhedrin Gedolah, where you have a two-person majority, and you assume like Rabbi Yehuda that there's an even number of Dayanim on the Sanhedrin Gedolah, so you have a 36-34 vote. Whenever you're Mosif, what we're doing essentially is we're making a Bezen Shakol lechadchila. We're making an even number of Dayanim lechadchila, because you only have 22 Dayanim left when you're being Mosif, because one guy abstained. So you would think you should add an odd number to bring it back to an odd number, but that's not what we do. We had two more, so now we have 24. Says Mar Pshita, yeah, we could do the math. If you're adding two, obviously you're making a Bezen Shakol lechadchila. No, ma'od detem ha'idu kamarini odeh kamandi isei dami v'yamar milsa shaminalei. I might have thought that the guy who said Eini Yodea is not totally off the Beis Din. He's commanding Isei Dami, and it's still, if he were to say something, if he were to pipe up and offer a suggestion, we would listen to what he has to say. That's why we have to be told that no, it's as if he doesn't exist anymore. He is off. And even if he says something, we're not going to listen to him. The Rishonim are bothered by the Kasha, that even the Talmidim that are Yoshev Lefnei the Sanhedrin are able to be Melamed Tzchus, they're able to say something. So they have to come up with some suggestion. They say that the Gemara over there means only if they say a Tam L'chova, we don't listen to this guy. But if he says a Tam L'chus, he's Lo Gara Me'achin Min HaTalmidim. He's no worse than any of the Talmidim. There's also a discussion what the din is by Dine Mominus. Is the guy that says any of their Bedine Mominus permanently off the Sanhedrin? The Rambam in the 8th paragraph of Sanhedrin says that this is only by Dine Fashas, but the Ravid over there, not Sagas of the Ravid, says that even by Dine Mominus this halacha would be true. We'd have to figure out why that would be the case, but not for now. So it says Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Kana, Sanhedrin Shro Kulon Lechova Potrin Oso. If it's a unanimous vote Lechova, the guy gets off the hook. My timer, that seems so odd. If it's a unanimous vote Lechova, I would think for sure to be Mechayev him. Because the whole purpose of not killing him that day is so that they could have overnight to think about it, to think of a Zechus for him. But if it was a unanimous vote, everyone's going to think this guy is so guilty, it's not even worth thinking about. No one's going to really keep an open mind to think about a Zechus. If their respected colleagues thought the Zechus and voted the Zechus, so then they're going to think, what did I see wrong? Why am I looking at this guy so negatively? And they might think of a different angle. But once it was a 23-0 vote, they're not going to keep an open mind to be Malami Tzchus. And Kiryas Sefer, he's Mesupak in the 9th paragraph of Sanhedrin. Is this a Din D'Oraisa or a Din D'Rabbanan? Sounds like a D'Rabbanan. It's like a Gzeira, lest they not be Lomei Tzchus. Not that they can't be Malami Tzchus. A Gzeira, lest they not. But he's not. Pashas is D'Oraisa because it's Chazaka. It's Chazaka that they will not. And that could have a status of a D'Oraisa. Min Chaschinuch in Mitzvah Ein Zayin as a OC base has a fascinating suffix. He says normally if a dayan votes lechova, he's allowed to change his mind lezuchus. The other way, you're not allowed to change your mind. You voted lezuchus, you're not allowed to change your mind lechova. Let's say one of these dayanim changed their mind. Are they allowed to change their mind? You have a 23-0 vote lechova, so the guy's going to be pater. And then a couple of dayanim say, we change our mind lezuchus. So do you say, well, you're allowed to change your mind from chova to zuchus? Yeah, but over here, changing your mind to chova to zuchus gets this guy killed. So you shouldn't be allowed to change your mind. So milchaschim is mesupak about it. And then he says that in the Chuvas Mari Yecheskel, the Masifta quotes over here in Simon Kuf Yecheskel, he says Dov Pasha, that if one of the Dayanim is chozer to say Zuchus Shomenlo, and we're machzir the din, even though that's going to now be Mechayev the Nidon, because the din that ain't machzir in Lechova, the Gemara Darshans and Daflam and Gimel from the pasuk Noki Vitzadik Al Tarog, that's only if he's Nitzadik Bedin Al Yedei Beis Din. Over here he was not Nitzadik Bedin, he was Nitzadik on a technicality. He only got off off on a technicality because everyone was mechayiv him. It's a gzeres hakasuv that he was potter. So if they want to be melamed zchus, they still can, and then they could still kill him. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Moshevim b'Sanhedrin, qualifications to serve on a Sanhedrin, you need ela bale koma, tall people, bale chachma, people of people who are wise, bale mare, people who look distinguished, bale zikna, people who are old enough. It's a question because the Gemara is going to say later on in Daf Lamed Vav that you're not allowed to have old people serve in the Sanhedrin because they already forgot Tsar Gidul Banim. So you have to say no, bale zikna is of a certain age, but not a zakin muflag. Once a zakin muflag can't serve, or bale kshav or zakin might just mean zashakan chachma, although that would be repetitive because we already said bale chachma. Or bale kshavim, they need to know a little bit about kishuv because they're going to have to be done. People who are engaged in kishuv, so they're going to need to know what they're talking about. V'yodim ba'in lashon, they need to speak 70 languages. They shouldn't have to hear things through a translator. They have to be able to provide a compelling argument to be matar asheretz. I'll give you a good compelling argument. Tahar nachash, who kills and is mar betuma in the world, is tahar sheretz sheinu meimus mar betuma and udinshi etar a sheretz which can't kill anybody, so he's not mar betuma in the world, should all the more so be tahar velohi. But it's not an accurate kal v'chomer midadava kotz bialma. You know, any weapon, any inanimate object that's a weapon is not tame, like a thorn is not tame, but it's mar betuma biolam because it kills people, so it's not a valid kal v'chomer. Amri v'dom rav kol ir tells us is bothered by the issue of why in the world we want people who could say kal v'chomer of shtus and hevel to serve in the Sanhedrin. The halacha is that a sheretz is tame, so you want people to come up with kal v'chomer that are beferish against the Torah. So he comes up with a suggestion. It's a specific detail in the laws of tumah. It's not that a sheretz is not tame at all. Amar Rav Yehuda Rav kol yer shein b'shnayim l'daber vech l'shmoa ein moshivim b'Sanhedrin. You need at least two people who speak 70 languages and one who understands even if he can't speak in order to have a Sanhedrin. Ubebeit arvu shlosha ubiyav Arba'a. And in Beitar they had three, and in Yavne they had four. So these were super qualified cities. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shuv, Rabbi Kiva, v'Shimon HaTimni. Dan Lefnei Bekarka. Shimon HaTimni was Dan Lefnei Bekarka. But these were your four who knew 70 languages. Meisve, Shlishis, Chachama, Revias, Ein Lamale, Emena. So didn't we learn that if you have three people who speak every language, then it's a wise city that qualifies to have a Sanhedrin? Sounds like you need three who speak every language, that two who speak every language is not enough. So Udamer Ketana Detanya Shnia Chacham Shlisha Sein Lamale Mena. There's an alternate version of the Brisa that says that if you have two people that speak every language, they're already qualified for a Sanhedrin, and three is already Ein Lamale Mena. It's already such a high madrega. Now the Gemara goes through the entire list of throughout Shas. We have a lot of times cryptic descriptions of groups of people or people, and now we're going to identify who those people are. So whenever you see the Meid L'Vnei Chachamim, that's Levi Me Rebbe. It's Levi learning from Rebbe. Dan L'Vnei Chachamim, Shum Ben Azev, Shum Ben Zoma, V'chanan HaMitzri, V'chanan Ben Chachinai. That's that group of Shum Ben Azev, Shum Ben Zoma, V'chanan HaMitzri, V'chanan Ben Chachinai are the Dan L'Vnei Chachamim. Rav Nachum Rizk Masni Chamisha, he added a fifth member of the group, Shimon, Shimon, V'Shimon, Chanan V'chananya. He added an extra Shimon into that group. Shimon HaTimni also gets added into that group. Rav Seder Shem Bavel, Rav Shmuel. Rav Seder Shem Bavel is reference to Rav Shmuel. Rabbi Seder Shabaret Yisrael, Rabbi Abba. That's a reference to Rabbi Abba. Dayane Gola, Karna. Dayane Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yami v'Rabbi Yasi. That's Rabbi Yami v'Rabbi Yasi. Dayane Dupum Bedisa, who are they? Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. It's just Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, even though Dayane Dupum Bedisa sounds like it's multiple people. Dayane Denarda is Rav Ad Bar Minyome. Sabi Desura is Rafuna v'Rav Chista. Sabi Dupum Bedisa, who are the elders of Pumbedisa? Rav Yehuda v'Rav Ina. Charifi Dupum Bedisa, the Charifim of Pumbedisa, the sharp ones of Pumbedisa. Ifa v'Avimi b'nei Rachva. Amuroi de Pumbedisa, Rabba Rav Yosef. Amuroi de Narda, Dinardai, who are the Amuroi de Narda? Rav Chama, it's just Rav Chama. Narbalai Masnu, whenever we say Narbalai Masnu, so that's Rami Bar Barebi. That's at least one gear. So what does it change it to on the side? It has a Bar Baruchi. Okay. Amri Be Rav, Rav Huna. Vam Rav Huna Amri Beirav. Wait, how could you say that Amri Beirav is Rav Huna if sometimes Rav Huna quotes Amri Beirav? So that doesn't make sense that Amri Beirav should be Rav Huna. Ella Rav Hamnuna. Amri Beirav is Rav Hamnuna, not Rav Huna. Amri b'ma'arava, Rabbi Yirmiya. Shalchu mitam, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Whenever we say shalchu mitam, that's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Machku ala b'ma'arava is Rabbi Lazar. When we say machku ala b'ma'arava, that's a reference to Rabbi Lazar. V'ashalchu mitam l'divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Aye, but didn't we once have a shalchu mitam that according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, so it makes it sound like the shalchu mitam is not Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So says Gemara, ela epuch shalchu mitam Rabbi Lazar machu alav marava Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. The shalchu mitam is Rabbi Lazar machu alav b'marava is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So there's a lot to say on each of those things, but Be'ez Hashem will pick up at the two dots tomorrow when we'll go right to it.